Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. On our program this week, we play new music from Dengue Fever. We also tell about the anniversary of an important event in America's civil rights movement. But first, a report on four Broadway shows nominated for top honors. This week, actors Matthew Broderick and Anika Noni Rose announced nominations for the 2011 Tony Awards. The Tonys are the highest honors for Broadway shows. The American Theater Wing and the Broadway League will present the awards at ceremonies on June 12th in New York City. Faith Lapidus tells about the nominees for Best Play.
Good People takes place in the Boston, Massachusetts neighborhood known as Southie. It is home to many working-class Irish Americans. Frances McDormand stars as Margie Walsh in Good People. She has been struggling to survive after losing her low-paying job. She is hoping for changes when she visits with an old boyfriend, Mike. He has made money, moved out of Southie, and married. Artistic director Lynn Meadows says Good People is a play about class in America. Writer David Lindsay Abaire says he wanted to write respectfully about Southie. He says it was important that he had a strong opinion about the place he was writing about. Frances McDormand was also nominated for a Best Actress Tony for her performance in Good People. Briton Nick Stafford is the playwright of War Horse, another Tony-nominated play. It is based on a book by British writer Michael Morpurgo. The play was first produced in London. War Horse is the story of a boy during World War I. He loses a horse he loves very much to the British Armed Forces, which needs it for the war effort. The boy searches Europe to find the animal. The production of War Horse includes beautiful puppets of horses. These life-size objects are strong enough to carry actors in the play. The Handspring Puppet Company is receiving a special Tony Award for its creations in the play. Another Tony nomination for Best Play went to Jerusalem by Jez Butterworth. The play also received five other nominations, including two for acting. Like War Horse, Jerusalem was also performed in London before its New York production. The play takes place in the English countryside. Tony-nominated actor Mark Rylance plays Johnny Byron, also known as The Rooster. He sells drugs to teenagers, drinks too much alcohol, and does not pay enough attention to his young son. But he is also a lively storyteller with many qualities people find likable. His neighbors, however, want him to leave the area. Jez Butterworth says he was surprised when British critics called Jerusalem a state of the nation play. He said he wanted to write about the passing of time and about how people move on. The fourth production nominated for Best Play this year is The Mother with the Hat. It is the seventh work by playwright Stephen Adley Guirgis. Veronica and Jackie are each in their late 20s and living together in New York's Times Square area. Jackie recently stopped taking illegal drugs with the help of a 12-step program. However, the play opens with Veronica using cocaine. As theatergoers will learn, she is also involved with another man, a person central to Jackie's recovery. The Mother with the Hat was nominated for 6 Tony Awards in all. The New Yorker magazine praised the play as funny and sharp. The magazine noted the mix of desire and dishonesty between Jackie and Veronica. It said the quality made them one of the most beautifully drawn couples to appear together in a Broadway production in years.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome.
Americans are marking the 50th anniversary of the Freedom Rides. They were an effort to protest racial segregation on public transportation in southern states. 13 civil rights activists became the first Freedom Riders on May 4, 1961. In the months that followed, more than 400 men and women, blacks and whites, rode buses, trains, and airplanes to support the Freedom Ride movement. A group called the Congress of Racial Equality organized the Freedom Rides. It wanted to force state governments to honor a ruling of the United States Supreme Court. The court had declared that racial separation in bus and train stations was unconstitutional. But southern states were not enforcing the ruling. Public restrooms and restaurants at bus stations still had signs that read, "Whites Only." 50 years ago this week, the first Freedom Riders left Washington, D.C. 7 blacks and 6 whites rode on 2 buses. They were supposed to travel through the southern United States on their way to New Orleans. However, neither bus completed the trip. One bus was firebombed in Alabama. The attackers blocked the doors to prevent the Freedom Riders from escaping. When the civil rights activists finally did get out, they were beaten. An hour later, men carrying baseball bats, pipes and chains attacked the second bus. The Freedom Riders on this bus were severely beaten. Some were taken to doctors, but no one died. The Congress of Racial Equality refused to let violence end the trip. The group found another group of riders to continue on. These Freedom Rides continued throughout the year. News of the violence spread throughout the country and the world. It also got the attention of President John F. Kennedy and his administration. Soon, the Interstate Commerce Commission announced rules banning racial segregation at all public transportation centers. The rules took effect on November 1, 1961. The Freedom Riders had taken their civil rights campaign on the road and won. Many suffered beatings, threats, and even imprisonment. This month, Americans are remembering these brave men and women for their influence on American history. A film about the Freedom Riders will be broadcast on May 16th. There are also several celebrations planned. More than 100 Freedom Riders and their families are expected to travel to Mississippi for a special reunion on May 24th. Music from Southeast Asia has strongly influenced the California-based band Dengue Fever. The band started out playing Cambodian pop music from the 1960s and early 1970s. Brothers Ethan and Zach Holtzman formed Dengue Fever 10 years ago after Ethan's travels in Cambodia. The band recently released its fifth album, Cannibal Courtship. Barbara Klein has more.
That was Cannibal Courtship, performed by Dengue Fever's lead singer, Chom Nimal. The Holtzman brothers first heard her perform years ago while they were searching for a singer for the band. Ms. Nimal had recently moved to the United States from Cambodia. She came from a well-known family of Cambodian musicians. Ethan and Zach Holtzman knew she had just the voice to help Dengue Fever remain true to the spirit of Cambodia's pop music tradition. Listen to Chom Nimal singing Sister in the Radio. The name for the band Dengue Fever came to Ethan Holtzman during his travels in Cambodia in the late 1990s. At one point, he says, he was in the back of a truck traveling to the capital, Phnom Penh. The driver was playing Cambodian pop music from the 60s. Ethan's friend was sick with Dengue Fever. Ethan loved the music and later bought many recordings. He says Dengue Fever's music has an important message. Many Cambodians who made this music popular disappeared or were killed when the Khmer Rouge ruled the country in the 1970s. Ethan Holtzman says his band attempts to shine a light on this fact to help make sure such a situation never happens again. We leave you with Family Business.
I'm Doug Johnson. Our program was written by June Sims, Dana Demange, and Katie Weaver, who was also the producer. Join us again next week for Music and More on American Mosaic in VOA Special English. This is good.